Midweek Theater. Balance brought forward by R.D. Wingfield, with Aubrey Woods as Skinner and Peter Williams as Sparkle.
Oh, sorry, Shelley.
How fit you are.
Actually, I'm enjoying it. Intimate contact with your warm, young, vibrant body.
You're coming out with me today.
I can't afford it, thanks.
I'll pay you back. It's the first payday after Christmas.
I'm afraid I'm withdrawing your credit facility. You've got a customer.
Shop.
Sorry, Mr. Skinner. I was miles away.
You can't afford to let your attention wander when you work in a bank. Come, if I was less than honest, I'd have got away with all your blotting paper and unit trust, wouldn't I? Now, firstly, can you cash me this modest check, please?
Of course, sir. One?
Yes. As many as possible. Look at them down there. You know, banking has lost all its grace and charm. Once it was a glass of sherry and a slice of Madeira cake in the manager's office, and now it's all those hefty jets and crash helmets and conscience.
There are security guards from Gregson's department store, Mrs. Skinner, paying in the daily takings.
Could it warrant so many of them?
Oh, if you knew the amount of money involved, sir. Oh, Dixon's always do a fair old trade, but at Christmas time it's fantastic. Oh, there we are, Mr. Skinner. 15-1.
And a free elastic dam. Thank you, Tom. How much money, roughly, do they pay in each day, then?
Oh, I'm not allowed to tell you that, sir.
No, of course not. I should have known better than to ask a stern-faced, tight-lipped young bank executive. About $20,000?
Oh, you have to travel that, sir.
$60,000. A day? You think, doesn't it? Let me dribble, Tom. It's over, £350,000 a week, almost as much as you spend on Pop Records.
Oh, my spending days are over until after Christmas, sir.
I don't know where all the money goes.
And to Gregson's department store by the look of it and then into your bank. No wonder you can afford to give away free elastic bands. No, I wonder... but there's a furtive-looking coat trying to sneak in behind your counter.
Hmm? Up there. Where do you think he's going?
Excuse me, sir, you can't go through there.
It's all right, turn the new broad senator.
Oh, you Mr. Puffle?
That's right. And you'll be Tom Green?
Yes, sir. We didn't expect you until after Christmas, Mr. Puffle.
Things will fast all their time. Now, where will I find the exit manager?
Mr. Perry, in his office, your office. First door on the left. Well, I'll show you.
I can find the thanks. You would better get back to customer.
Yes, sir.
Who is that, Tom?
He's the heir presumptive to the managership. I'd love to see Mr. Perry's face when he learned his reign of terror being cut short.
Do you mind knocking before coming in here? Who the hell are you?
Mr. Perry?
Yes?
I'm Fussell, the new manager.
Oh, well, I can stay 5 minutes. Sit down.
Thank you. Sorry I didn't phone you first.
If you didn't, I could have put you off. I have no time for casual visitors at the moment. You won't mind if I carry on signing these terms, will you?
This isn't a casual visit, Mr. Perry.
Oh?
I've advanced my plans. Anderson got back from convalescence last Friday, earlier than we expected.
Who's Anderson?
My replacement at my old branch. Anyway, with him back, won't keep me there any longer. We moved into the new house yesterday, and here I am ready to take a lunch today.
Not a chance.
I beg your pardon.
If you had had any experience of actually running a bank, you'd know that there was far too much work on hand at this time of the year for me to spare time to spoon-feed someone new and teach them the ropes.
Permit me to remind you, Mr. Perry, that whether you like it or not, I am manager of this branch.
And permit me to remind you that your appointment doesn't take effect until the 1st of January. Until then, I am acting manager in full charge and extremely busy. So, if you would excuse me...
Aren't you being a little childish?
I won't query your decisions when you're in charge. Please don't query mine now. Good day.
Head office said you were difficult.
Difficult? Is that what they think of me? Do you know how long I've been at this branch, Mr. Fussell?
Over 30 years, isn't it?
36 years. This branch has had 36 years of my life. I started as a junior filing clerk and worked my way up, step by step, to assistant manager. And all through my own efforts. I have got no friends at head office.
I can believe that.
I've been assistant to 5 different managers. 5 times the job has fallen vacant, and 5 times they've appointed people with half my experience. The worst of them was this last chap. He didn't know how to run a branch, and he didn't want to know. He was so bad that even head office tweeted him, and 6 months ago he was asked to resign. I really thought I'd get the job this time. For 6 months I've been working like a Trojan, showing him that I could do it. Yesterday, head office let me into their little secret. They'd already given it to you. It was all decided last June.
Yes, I'm afraid it was. The move was delayed for 6 months because Anderson was taken ill. But don't despair, Mr. Perry. I'm sure your chance will come.
But in case it doesn't, I'm determined to enjoy my brief spell as acting manager to the full, i.e. until the 31st of December.
Very well, Mr. Perry. Since you feel so strongly about it.
I'll see you again at the first 9 o'clock, then. Goodbye.
Yes? Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Perry.
That's all right. Mr. Fuffle's just leaving.
Mr. Skinner of Skinner Development would like to see the manager.
If someone else who wants to bow to you without an appointment, all right, I'll see him. Might as well ruin the rest of the morning.
He said he wanted the proper manager, sir, Mr. Fuffle.
Do you know him?
Skinner? I don't think so.
We come from your part of the country. Moved down here 5 or 6 months ago. Runs a one-man business speculating in old properties. A bit shady, if you ask me. Show him in, Green.
All right, sir. This way, Mr. Skinner.
You'll want to see me, but you can hang on if you like.
Thank you.
Mr. Fuffle, how kind of you to see me at such short notice.
How do you do, Mr. Skinner? How do you feel, sir John?
Thank you very much.
You know Mr. Perry, of course.
Oh, of course, the acting manager. Must be such a relief for you to have a proper manager in charge again.
I didn't know we lacked a proper manager. How can we help you, Mr. Skinner?
It's rather confidential.
Yes?
So if you wouldn't mind leaving us.
Leaving? Me? I see. Very well. Please treat my office as if it were your own, Mr. Fuffle.
Stuff are awfully touchy these days, aren't they?
Well, it is a very hectic time of year.
Good Lord. We have met before, Mr. Fuffle.
Have we? Am I all wrong?
No. Years ago. We were both wearing the King's uniform at the time.
Oh?
You were in the commandos, weren't you?
That's right.
And I was in the RAF. East Anglia? Rookley Airfield?
Rookley?
Yes.
I remember it vaguely. We took off from there for France once, 1944, I think.
August 1944.
You must have a remarkable memory, Mr. Skinner.
You need it in my business. Now, why do I remember August 1944 so well? Of course, the murder.
What murder?
How fleeting is fame. We must remember the famous Rookley murder. It was a sensation at the time. It knocked sex and dried eggs into second place as a topic of conversation in the camp.
Oh, yes, I think I remember reading something about it in the papers. Now, how can the bank help you, Mr. Skinner?
You read about it. But didn't the police question you at the time?
Question me? No, why should they?
They questioned everyone who was in the camp that day.
But I wasn't in the camp that day. We'd flown to France the week before.
Do you know, I could have sworn I saw you there on the day of the murder. You had the old green beret on.
You're mistaken.
Just shows how witnesses can be mistaken, doesn't it? I could have sworn
that I saw you. Get out of business.
Yes, of course. Of course. Things are a bit tough in the property world at the moment, Mr. Foster. I find I need rather a large sum of money.
I see. Have you filled in one of our loan application forms?
No.
Well, that's the first step. I wonder where Mr. Perry keeps
it. Isn't it funny the way association of ideas works? The minute I saw you, I immediately thought of murder.
Why?
Well, the victim, the chappy who was killed, you know, his father. Now, he's something big in this band, isn't he?
Yes, Vernon Woodhead. He's on our board of directors.
That was the name, of course. Woodhead. Pilot, office, wait, don't tell me. Rupert Woodhead. What a way to finish up. Stabbed to death in a country name. Is he alone, Miss Alton?
Yes.
I bet his father took it rather badly.
Oh,
yes. Interest says that he was blind drunk when he was stabbed. Couldn't have defended himself. What sort of man would do a thing like that?
If you could just fill in this form.
Oh, thank you. No, they never caught the killer.
Well, they're not likely to after 30 years, are they?
Well, the police never close their files. Sound like owing the bank money. They never leave you alone. Wouldn't it be rotten luck to think you've got away with it for 30 years and then suddenly...
You want to say complicated form. There must be easier ways of getting money out of the bank.
Not honestly.
And where is the form for the other way?
Oh, I thought you would have finished by now.
Just going, Mr. Berry.
Terry.
Oh, yes. Well, I'll be back when I've filled in your form, Mr. Puckle. Good day.
Goodbye, Mr. Skinner.
Goodbye.
What does he want?
A bank loan.
I don't trust him. He won't get one while I'm in charge. What you do when you take over is your affair, of course. Well, I can keep you.
Yes, January the 1st.
9 o'clock. Oh, my regards to your wife. Have a pleasant Christmas.
Why, thank you. You must come over.
Come in and take some letters, will you, Shirley?
Right away, Mr. Terry.
Was there anything else?
No, nothing else, thank you. Mary, I'm home.
I'm in the living room.
Oh, you look busy.
Oh, you're home early. I wanted to be all ready for you.
I'll help you.
Oh, you're an angel. There's going to be empty tea chest tomorrow. The removal men broke that awful teapot your aunt gave us. Isn't that wonderful?
Where shall I put these plates?
Anywhere. Oh, that cupboard for now.
All right.
Darling, the old pig, Jane, I forgot to ask you, how did you get on the bank? Did you dispossess any old widow lady? Foreclose any mortgages?
I didn't start today.
Why not?
Harry is determined to remain acting manager for his full term. I am not allowed in until January the 1st.
Good. You must go back tomorrow.
No.
Yes. Well, don't you see what he's doing? He's making you look a fool. You're the manager. It's your branch. And you tell him what to do.
Why are you getting so worked up?
I want to make a success in this job.
Have we had any callers today?
The man from the electricity board?
No.
Oh. Mm. He said our wiring was rotten and should have been condemned years ago. But if we like, he can fix it for us in his spare time for only £50. And the electricity board would charge us hundreds and not be nearly such a good job as this. Stevie, you're not listening.
Sorry. Something else happened today.
At the bank?
Yeah. A chap named Skinner called. He said he remembered me from the war. From Rookley. He kept going on about the murder.
Not
Peter. Said he saw me there that day.
But you told me no one saw you.
Perhaps I was wrong.
What else did he say?
Nothing much, just talk in general terms, but he went on and on about Woodhead.
Well, if he was there at the time, naturally he'd want to talk about it.
I suppose so.
Oh, your trouble is you haven't got enough to think about. Now, what about my little man from the electricity board? I'm sure he'd make a good job of the wiring. He's got a lovely bald head.
He's got a lovely bald head. What further persuasive argument is necessary? Oh, Mary, what would I do without you?
Mm-hmm.
Expecting anyone?
Oh, it could be the electrician's brother-in-law.
His brother-in-law?
Yeah, he mends television sets. Cheaper than at the shop.
There's nothing wrong with our television.
Oh, well, I had a little accident.
Accident? Oh, well. It's very old.
It's not the man who mends the TV, Peter. It's someone for you.
Mm-hmm. Good evening, Mr. Parcel.
Skinner.
I come in peace, bearing gifts. Will you accept this little housewarming present?
Of course, I'm sure. Why, thank you.
And some beautiful flowers for a lovely lady.
Red roses, they're my favorite.
We share the same impeccable taste.
I'm sorry, Mary.
Oh, it's all right. We introduce ourselves. Please sit down, Mr. Skinner.
Oh, thank you.
You'll help us drink this, I hope?
Ah, you're too kind. I hope you don't mind my barging in like this, but I've often the vicinity, and I say, isn't this a charming house? bit off the beaten track, sir.
Yeah, we don't mind. How did you come? By car?
You should see it, Peter. A yellow sports model. Is it you, Mr. Skinner?
No, it's weak old. Are you interested in cars, Mr. Fuss?
Oh, he's car mad. Always taking our engines to pieces.
And that, of course, is the easy part. Can he put it together again?
Oh, yes. He's a mechanical genius.
I've never paid a car chauffeur bill in my life. No?
Thank you.
Skinner?
Thank you. Well, I wish I had your skill, Mr. Farfall. Now, what shall we drink to? I know. To old comrades alive and dead.
I find that rather morbid.
Well, then I'm instantly ready with another. May our sins never be found out. Well, drink up, Mr. Farfall. Why do they make sherry glasses so small?
Would you like some more?
Well, as it is a special occasion. Garden things take some looking after, isn't it? Are you a keen gardener?
I'm very keen.
Yes, I thought so. You've got the killer instinct.
What on earth do you mean by that?
Well, the slugs and carrot flies you gardeners have to slaughter. Now, I couldn't kill anything. You killed during the war, didn't you?
Yes.
I didn't. How old was Rupert Woodhead when he died?
What exactly have you come here for, Mr. Skinner?
There's no concealing anything from you, is there, Mrs. Farfall? As a matter of fact, there is a rather urgent little financial matter I'd like to discuss with your husband.
I prefer to keep business separate from my private life. Can we save it for the bank?
I'm afraid urgency does not allow that. I hate to show discourtesy to your charming wife, Mr. Farfall, but it would be less embarrassing if we could talk alone.
Embarrassing for whom?
For you. I'm ashamed to say that nothing embarrasses me.
I keep no secrets from my wife, Mr. Skinner.
Not even 30-year-old secrets?
No.
Does she know you murdered Rupert Woodhead?
Oh, yes, she does, Mr. Skinner.
But how wonderful. Isn't that really what marriage is all about? I'm sure that with your lovely wife standing by you, we'll soon get this annoying little matter sorted out to everyone's satisfaction. Isn't it peaceful and calm around here? Silence is such a wonderful thing. It's amazing how much people are willing to pay for silence.
So it's blackmail.
Of course. I'm not ashamed to admit it. Not the noblest of professions, perhaps, but better by far than mugging old ladies or stabbing drunken men. You know this wine gets better the more you have of it.
Are you going to get to the point?
Of course. Now, your hobby is cars, and mine is photography. And what a rewarding hobby it turned out to be. Now, if on that lovely August evening in 1944 you had let your attention wander from the task of stabbing poor pilot officer Woodhead to death, you might have noticed the glimpse of the setting sun on the telephoto lens of my little Leica camera. I took some lovely photographs.
Where were you?
Up on the hill. It was by pure chance that I saw you. The definition of that lens, it was... Oh, you can almost read the maker's name on the blade of the knife.
Where are these photographs?
In a very safe place.
I want them.
How fortuitous, because I want to sell them.
I'm not a rich man.
That depends on your standards, doesn't it? Paul Getty probably doesn't think her narcissist is very rich. Now, let me see. In your deposit account, there's about 4,260, and you've got exactly £562.63 in your current account.
Oh, on earth did you know that?
The counterers explain how their trips work. Do bank managers explain how they calculate bank charges? Of course not. We all have our trade secrets.
How much?
Well, I don't want to belittle your achievement in saving all that money, but your few thousand pounds is nowhere near enough. Now, the least I could accept for my excellent photograph is £60,000.
£60,000?
I'd throw in the album free of charge.
Oh, you must be mad. I haven't got that sort of money.
No, you haven't. But your bank has.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's their vast reserve. It'll be a flea bite.
You're asking me to rob my own bank?
Of course not. That will get you into trouble, and that's the last thing I wish to do. All I'm asking you to do is to help me rob your bank.
And if I refuse?
I wrap the photographs and the negatives up in Christmassy paper and send them to the police with a covering note.
If you saw me kill him, why didn't you go to the police at the time?
In 1944, they'd have hanged you. I'm a humane man. I couldn't have had that on my conscience. Besides, what would there have been in it for me? Commandos weren't paid very much.
All right, Skinner. This has gone far enough. I want the film and the photograph.
No, not the gun, Floyd. Please put it away.
I'm not bluffing. You're not ruining my life, Skinner. I'd rather kill you.
You'd rather? But you wouldn't. Oh, be sensible. What would you do with my body?
You said yourself this is a remote house with a large garden. No wonders you're here. Now, I want those photographs.
I haven't got them on me.
Then we'll go and get them.
No.
Switch the radio on, Mary. Louder. That should drown the sound of the shot.
Oh, do put that stupid gun away. You know it isn't loaded.
You've got exactly 5 seconds to tell me where those photographs are. Don't look, Mary. 5 seconds, Skinner. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Can we have that horrible music off now?
Turn it off, Mary.
Now, don't think badly of yourself, Mr. Fussell. You did it very well, but you'd never leave a loaded gun lying loose in a drawer like that. If it were a knife, and if I were a little drunker, I'd have been one. But as it is, it's, quite a Luger, isn't it?
A souvenir of the war.
Like my photograph. And, by the way, in case you feel tempted again, my solicitor has a letter to be opened in the sad event of my untimely death. Standard procedure in these cases.
Tell me why you killed that man, Peter.
You killed him, Mr. Fussell. That is good enough for me. My curiosity extends no further.
Tell him, Peter.
They flew us from Rookley Airfield to this job in France. It involved being dropped by parachute behind enemy lines and taking and holding a vital bridge until the Allied advance troops arrived. We held the bridge, our troops arrived, and we were back in England within a week. Our only casualties were 16 men, killed by Pilot Officer Woodhead.
Go on.
There was a German Panzer division about half a mile away from the dropping zone, so accuracy was essential. The planes had come in at a minimum dropping height, and as soon as we were over the target, the pilot would flash the signal to jump. Of course, the Jerry's wound up flat like mad, but the pilots couldn't maneuver. They had to grit their teeth and fly straight through it, keeping from a fixed dropping height. Pilot Officer Woodhead didn't like flak, so he flew under it, which was safe for him and his plane, but not safe for the poor devils who had to jump.
What happened?
If you haven't got enough height, you hit the ground before your parachute opens. All 16 men were smashed to pieces as Woodhead would wing it back home to safety. 16 men. Most of them good friends of mine. One of them was my brother.
Oh, I wish you hadn't told me that. My job is hard enough without having to stifle feelings of sympathy.
I made a special journey back to Rookley to find him. He was drunk when I killed him. And they said he was drunk in the air.
Won't let the police have those photographs now, will you, Mr. Skinner?
I'm afraid I'd have to if it was necessary. There can be no sentiment in business.
Please, Mr. Skinner. Please.
Don't beg, Mary. If the price of his silence is that I shall commit another crime, then he can go to hell. The answer's no.
Oh, dear, I always feel that somehow I've failed when I have to expose a client. Perhaps I've not made it clear that your part in the actual robbery would be very, very small. You'd neither be suspected nor found out. Your career at the bank would not suffer. You'll be able to enjoy your new house, your garden, your cars. In fact, all of us would live happily ever after.
The answer is still no.
I can't believe that that is your last word.
It is.
no.
Keep out of it, Mary.
No, I'll not keep out of it. It concerns me as well as you. Well, you may think it's fine and noble to throw away everything we've worked for because of something that happened years and years ago. I don't.
I can't rob my own bank, Mary. It's a matter of principle.
Well, is there anything you didn't think of principle can unite down that drunken man?
Mary.
I'm sorry, Peter. I shouldn't have said that. What's going to happen to me when you're nobly rotting in prison?
I doubt if they'll send me to prison.
What do you think you get off? I don't think I'm going to like being known as the Rookley murderer's wife. They kick you out of the bank. You killed his son so well and wouldn't let you stay.
I'd resign anyway.
And when you made this magnificent gesture, what will we live on?
I'd get another job.
Oh, what a car mechanic. You'd never get another job like this one. He can just about afford the mortgage on the house now. How can we go on paying it?
We'd have to make sacrifices.
Sacrifices? No, Peter, no. I've had the hard time. If you want to throw everything away, then go ahead. I can't stop you. But you'd throw me away as well. Because I believe you, Peter. I believe you.
Oh, dear, the very last thing I wanted to do was to cause trouble between husband and wife. No, I really feel I've abused your hospitality.
You'd really leave me?
Yes.
All right, Carol. You win.
My dear Mr. Fussell, this is wonderful. You have gladdened my heart. Believe me, you've made the right decision.
Tom, where are you?
Over here checking the stationery shop, Mr. Perry.
That should have been done yesterday.
Well, I was a bit pushed there.
You'll be pushed right out of the job if you don't back your ideas up. Gregson's are sending over for a new pagan book. Let me know when they arrive.
Yes, sir. Oh, I think this job is worth having.
Talking to yourself.
Oh, hello, Cheryl. Here, you look a bit on the thin side. You could do with fattening up.
Are you offering to take me out to dinner?
No, I'm offering to sell you some luncheon vouchers. Only half price. Please, Cheryl, I'm kidding. Well, good morning. Oh, Mr. Fussell. I didn't notice you there, I'm sorry.
Good morning, Tom. Here's Mr. Perry.
Yes, sir. Is he expecting you?
No, he's not expecting me. I'll go straight through.
What are you doing here?
You know what I think, Cheryl?
What?
I think Captain Quee is about to be relieved of his command.
Come in. You.
Good morning, Mr. Perry.
Your calendar's wrong.
I'm afraid I've got bad news.
Oh?
I've decided to take over the ranch as from today.
As manager?
Yes.
I can see you and I are going to get on like a house on fire. Yesterday we agreed January the 1st.
I've had second thought.
You always change your mind every 5 minutes because I don't. I said I'm staying as acting manager until January the 1st, and that's precisely what I intend to do. Good day.
It's all been agreed. I've been under the placement at head office.
We'll see about that. Surely, get me Mr. Mason at head office. Yes, oh, hang on. Sergeant. Ah, it's Mason? Perry here. No, Perry. You for Grant. There seems to be some confusion. Oh? On what grounds? I see. I take this as a vote of no confidence in me, Mr. Mason. I don't see what other way I can take. I must now consider my next course of action.
I hope you're not thinking of resigning, Mr. Perry.
Resigning at my age? You only had to wait a few days, Mr. Fussell, and you would have spared me this humiliation. Just a few days.
I really am most sorry.
I'll move my things out of your office right away.
No.
I thought there was the indecent haste of your saying to get in here. Yes.
Mr. Skinner to see Mr. Fussell, sir.
Come in, Mr. Skinner.
What a glorious morning. Makes you feel good to be alive, eh, Mr. Barry?
Harry. I know it doesn't.
Is everything all right?
He took it badly.
Oh, don't worry about him. He'll have a whale of a time wallowing in self-pity.
Perhaps you can now tell me why it was necessary.
Of course. But we shall have to hurry now.
half a look at this.
The new payment book?
Uh-huh.
Gregson's department store. Where did you get this?
I hope you're not suggesting that I stole it.
Did you?
Certainly not. I bought it. It's a forgery.
A forgery?
And a very good one. My printer says that compared with banknotes, it was a piece of paper. But then who'd expect anyone to forge a paying in book? Hmm? Now, Gregson's will be sending for a new paying in book this morning.
The new one?
Oh, yes. They've lost the old one. Someone must have picked it up in the bank yesterday by mistake. I wonder who that could have been. Oh, it will turn up. All you've got to do is to ensure that they are issued with this replacement.
Why?
You've probably noticed there's strings of unintelligible figures printed along the bottom of checks and paying in books.
That's for computerized accounting. They're specially printed so that an electronic scanner can read them and automatically transfer the account details to the computer.
And what about the name of the firm?
Well, that's only printed for the customer's convenience. The machine ignores it.
Good. Because this paying in book for Gregson differs from the real thing in one respect only. It has my account number details printed along the bottom. Not Gregson.
I see.
I thought you would. It means, of course, that all the money that Gregson pays in this afternoon will be credited to my account by your splendid computer. Something in the region of £60,000. If they've had a good day. I shall be in tomorrow to draw it out in cash.
Cash?
Of course. I'm going to make a quick getaway before the mistake's found out. Bank error in your favor, collect £60,000.
Do you really think the bank is going to pay out all that money in cash without suspicions being aroused?
But of course it is. My dear Mr. Fussell, I've been planning this for ages ever since I knew that you were coming here. Now take a look at my account record and you'll see that on six occasions I have deposited sums ranging from £10,000 to £30,000 and I've withdrawn them in cash a couple of days later. The money wasn't mine, of course. I borrowed it at extortionate interest rates. But it's all in a good cause. I have established a pattern. Oh, dear, the work I have put in to make things easy for you.
Give me the photographs and I'll do it.
Oh. Now, would your bank hand back its security before the loan had been repaid? Let normal business aspects apply. When I have the money, you will have the photograph.
And how do I know you will carry out your end of the bargain?
I give you my word as a gentleman. No? All right, then. When I have the money, I'll slip you the photographs before I leave the bank. And if I don't, you can raise the alarm. And if your bank grants me this loan, Mr. Fussell, I'll work my fingers to the bone to justify your faith in me.
Yes. What is it, Tom?
I was looking for Mr. Perry, sir.
Can I help?
The cashier from Gregson's is outside, sir. He's come for the new paying in.
Oh. It's all right, Tom. No need to find Mr. Perry. I have it here.
Were you looking for me, Tom?
Oh, it's all right, Mr. Perry. Gregson's are here for their paying in book.
Hold on, I'll get it for you.
I've got it already, sir. Mr. Puffle gave it to me.
We couldn't have done. I locked it in the cabinet. I haven't handed him over the key yet.
He probably thought you'd locked it, sir, but you haven't.
If I think I've done a thing, then I've done it. Wait a minute. Let me take a look at that book.
Anything wrong, Mr. Perry?
Yes, there is. Have I told you about carbon paper?
Isn't there any in it, sir?
No, there isn't. They're always complaining about it, but put some in before you hand it over.
Yes, sir.
By the way, I didn't give you the key to the cabinet, Mr. Fussell.
Oh, thanks. They gave me a spare at head office, but I'll take yours just in case.
The Rexons now have a fake paying in book.
Yes. The money they paid him today goes straight into Skinner's account. He's drawing it out tomorrow.
So this time tomorrow it'll be all over.
I suppose so.
When they find out what happened, will they suspect you?
No. If I lie my head off, I'll come out unscathed. I'll say Skinner must have swapped the books in my office.
Well, that's all right then. Who's that?
That'll be Skinner. I'll let him in.
Good evening.
In the lounge.
Well, I'm back again, Mrs. Fussell, like a return check.
Has he been to do your television set yet?
No.
Oh, they're always famous, these people, you know.
Unreliable. I couldn't run my business like that.
And, talking of business, Mr. Puffle, how much did Gregson pay into my account today?
£69,523.
How much?
£69,523. I understand it's a record
taking. Good Lord, you know I am not a religious man, but it's at times like this that I begin to realize what Christmas is all about. Nearly 70,000. And it'll go higher. You mark my words.
You can draw it out tomorrow, but bring the photographs.
No.
What?
There are 3 more shopping days to Christmas, and Gregson's are having a boom. I think I'll let my money accumulate. If I wait until Christmas Eve, I should collect about what? £250,000.
You can't wait. It's too risky.
Nonsense. These last few days before Christmas are absolutely chaotic. Gregson won't have a chance to check the statement.
This isn't what we agreed. You said your price was $60.
Oh, I know it does sound as if I'm guilty of gazumping, doesn't it? But I said I was looking for at least £60,000. I didn't set a maximum, did I? Oh, come now, it's only another 3 days. You'll be surprised how quickly time passes when you're enjoying yourself. So I'll be in on Christmas Eve, bright and early, with a smile, a suitcase, and a check drawn for cash.
And the photographs.
I'll tie a knot in my handkerchief. Well, now, you must excuse me. There's so much to do. Fake passport to pick up, plane ticket to collect, eggs to hard boil for the sandwiches. No, no, no. Do sit down, Mrs. Puffle. I'll show myself out.
Here's your calendar, boy. It's the 24th today.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Perry.
How often do you want filling? And I'm still waiting for that list of overdrafts to head office.
Well, I thought I'd do that after Christmas, sir.
Then you can think again. It's going off tonight. Even if you have to work overtime.
Exit Ebenezer Scrooge. Fine Christmas Eve this is going to be. You wouldn't like to stay behind tonight and help me, would you, Cheryl?
No, I wouldn't. You've had your Christmas present.
Yes, lovely tie. I'll get you something first payday after Christmas.
Oh, yes, like you did last year. I'm still waiting. Well, how'd you get all behind with your work then?
I've been down in the vault getting that money ready for Mr. Skinner.
What money?
£217,000 in hard cash. You're picking it up today. All that money. You're not the only temptation in this place, sir.
Oh, yes.
Tom, Mr. Skinner, just found his cash ready?
All ready, sir.
Good. He'll be here to pick it up as soon as we open. You can take him to my office. I'll be out for a few minutes.
All right, Mr. Puffle.
Mr. Perry, I'm popping out for a while. We'll try and manage. Shelley, the Puffle's nine, open the doors.
Yes, Mr. Perry.
Let the ravenous hordes in.
That'll do. What was that money you were talking about?
£217,000 for Skinner Investments, sir. He's picking it up today.
He hasn't got that sort of money.
Oh, he has, sir. I've checked.
I know you're checking. Show me the account sheets. Three large deposits. He never came by this honestly.
Perhaps he robbed a bank, sir.
Don't be funny. Oh, there he is. Good morning, Mr. Cherry. Merry Christmas. The name is Perry, Mr. Skinner.
Mr. Puzzle said we can use his office, Mr. Skinner. He's popped out for a while.
Oh, lovely. Lead the way.
You think these two suitcases
would be here?
Oh, I think
they're
there.
Excuse me.
Yes?
I'd like to see the manager, please.
He's had to go out for a few minutes. How can I help you?
Well, my name's Robson. I'm chief accountant over at Gregson's department store.
I thought I recognized you, Mr. Robson. I'm the acting assistant manager.
Now, look here, Perry. Your damn computer's up to its tricks again. We've just received our statement. We're nearly £220,000 light.
There it is, Mr. Skinner. £217,000. You give me the case, and I'll stack it in for you.
I'll give you a hand, shall I, Tom? I'm in rather a hurry.
Get onto our head office, Mr. Robson.
Right.
It looks as if our computer has completely missed your last 3 payments. Ah, Shelley. Head office, please.
We never had this trouble in the old days.
In the old days, Mr. Robson, the customer was the customer, not just the number in the computer. Oh, hello, Central Accounts. Perry here. No, Perry. You've had lunch. Look, the computer has messed up one of our accounts. No, we can't wait until after Christmas. It's not just a few pence, it's only £220,000. This is more important than the office party. Get Mr. Fox to the phone at once.
will it all go in, Tom?
Oh, I think so, sir.
There we are. That's better.
Look, if you could hurry it along.
I'm sorry, Mr. Fox. It may be Christmas Eve up in head office, but it's an ordinary working day down here. The account is Gregson's department store. The computer number? Well, how should I know? Oh, just a minute. Can I borrow your pen? The computer number is 198-7543-2-110. No, I haven't made a mistake. I'm reading it straight from the book.
There, sir. Thank you, Tom.
Oh, by the way, as it's Christmas.
Oh, I couldn't, sir.
I won't tell anyone.
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Skinner.
There you are, Mr. Farthorpe. I was afraid I'd have to leave without saying goodbye.
No fear of that. Run along and open up the boot of Mr. Skinner's car, would you, Tom? The yellow sports model in the side row.
Yes, it is unlocked. Would you, would you like to take this case, Tom? I'll manage the other.
Right, sir.
Well, now, there is my father's bargain. All the evidence I've got is in that package. There is nothing else I promise you.
Thank you.
How do you know my car was in the side road?
I noticed it when I was out.
I see. Look, in case you've got any ideas of giving the alarm before I'm well away, remember I can still tell the police about that package. Not that any such unworthy thoughts would have entered your head, of course. Well, goodbye, Mr. Hartle. Thanks for everything. I don't know how I would have managed it without your help.
Tell me one thing before you go.
What?
Who gave you details of my private account? It must have been someone in the bank.
You wouldn't thank me for telling you. I promise you. Well, goodbye. And a Merry Christmas.
Forgive me for not shaking hands. Mine are not really seen, I'm afraid.
Stop it, Tom! After him!
Mr. Barry, what's going on?
That money wasn't his. It was Gregson's. He fiddled that thing in book somehow.
For the police?
That was the first thing I did. Give me some credit. Any luck, Tom?
No, sir. It's a ruin of a sports car.
You'd better let head off, Mr. Barry, and I won't see the police as soon as they arrive. What is this? Like a piece of the car. And the letter. Dear Mr. Fussell, how can you forgive me? It was all a bluff. There are no photographs. I was never at Rookley in my life. With apologies for any inconvenience. Never at Rookley. And how on earth did you know? Mary was the only one I ever told. Shirley, get my wife on the phone, would you?
Yes, sir.
Just a minute. Come in.
This is Detective Sergeant Betty.
Come in, Sergeant. Sit down. This is a wretched business.
It could be worse. We've got the money.
What?
I just came over the radio, sir. His car went out of control. He had a smash up at the bottom of Birch's Hill.
Oh, no. What a terrible accident.
Well, we don't think it was an accident, sir. There's more than a suspicion of foul play. One of our chaps seems to think the car's been sabotaged.
You mean someone deliberately interfered with the brakes?
That's funny you mentioned the brakes.
Oh, I assumed.
Oh, yes, well, it was the brakes, by all accounts. I'm on the way to look at the car now.
Who'd do a thing like that?
Oh, he wasn't short of enemies, sir. With a file that thick on him back at the station.
I suppose he's dead.
Very much so, sir. They were both killed outright.
Both?
There was a woman with him, sir. She hasn't been identified yet.
A woman?
Oh, he was a great one for the lady, sir. Could twist him around his little finger.
Excuse me.
Yes?
There's no reply from your wife, sir. Shall I try later?
No. No, thank you, Shirley. There's no point. She won't be there anymore.
Well, sir, I must be off.
Hold on, Sergeant. I think I'd better come with you. I may be able to help with the identification.
In Balance Brought Forward by R.D. Wingfield, Fussell was played by Peter Williams, and Skinner by Aubrey Woods. Mr. Perry, Ralph Lefevre, Mary Fussell, Gudrun Ewer, Tom Green, David Timpson, Shirley, Karen Archer, Robson, Fraser Carr, and Detective Sergeant Becky, Manning Wilson. The show was produced by Harry Kaplan.